Everybody sing that shit. We're here. Another episode, The Breakdown Podcast. We're on episode 8 now, and it is time for my number one Patreon supporter, Eddie Del Toro. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Billy. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'm excited. I really appreciate it.
We've spoke on like PlayStation, we've spoken in messages, but we've never face-to-face. First time.
Right. First time in what, 3-4 years almost?
It's been a while, isn't it? Yeah. You've told me before that you found my videos because of mine and your number one symptom, good old dizziness.
It's hell, so, isn't it?
Where should we go with this? Should we go right back to the start, man? Tell us how it all started for you.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. So for me, it was 2016. Mm-hmm. When I found your video, but should I start talking about how my anxiety story
started?
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go way back.
So it was 2014. I remember it to the day. That's how traumatic it was. It was in October of 2014. I was sitting in the living room. I'd just gotten home from work. I'm sitting in the living room with my brother-in-law watching TV. All of a sudden, I start noticing that I'm a little short of breath. I can't breathe, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, what's going on? Is it hot in here? Is it congested? So I start, trying to deep breathe, and I, for some reason, can't catch my breath. Then out of the blue, I start noticing my chest palpitations, right? Mm-hmm. And never felt this before. Keep in mind, this is my first about ever with anxiety. And so I started freaking out a little bit because this is new. My heart's racing. I can't breathe. So I decided to go on the patio. At the time, I was renting an apartment with my now wife. And, her brother was living with us. So I go onto the patio. I cannot catch my breath. Mm. And now I start gasping for air. And I said, oh, no, am I dying or am I having a heart attack? That's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I having a heart attack, right? And that's why so many people stress about symptoms and they think it's a heart attack. But I immediately run to the room and I tell my wife and I tell her, babe, I can't breathe and my heart's racing. I have no idea what's going on. So she touches my heart and she says, what did you do? And I said, I was just watching TV. She's like, did you take something? And I don't use drugs or drink. I'm disclosure. But but she was worried. So we called the ambulance. The ambulance comes in. At this point, I'm sweating. I'm freaking out. I can't breathe. I have to run outside. I'm on my front lawn waiting for the ambulance to come because I can't breathe. And the ambulance shows up. Two young guys come in. They're all calm about it. Get in the truck. They immediately take my blood pressure. And my blood pressure was insane. It was like over 200. It was crazy. And then they take my heart rate. And I think it was like 178, 181. I really thought I was having a heart attack. So I looked at their faces and they look at each other and they say, he's tacky. Should we take him? And the other guy says, we take him. Right. Brilliant. So they take me to the emergency room. I don't know I don't even remember that moment. It was kind of a blur. I just remember closing my eyes and praying. And I said, God, if I'm dying right now, just give me whatever I did. Give me another chance. Right. I was freaking out full mode. Mm-hmm. The only thing I wasn't doing was screaming, but I was sweating the whole shebang. So we get to the emergency room and they give me some medication. I didn't know what it was at the time. They say, take this. And I said, what is this? They said, just take it and put it under your tongue. It happened to be Xanax. Mm. So they put the Xanax, and this is after they did all this blood work and everything. So they gave me Xanax. And Billy, within 15 minutes, it was like magic. Mm. Was completely fine. My heart rate was lower than normal.
Yeah,
I was calm. I was feeling good. I felt like an idiot sitting in the hospital room, right? Mm. And the doctor comes in and she says, we ran all your blood tests. You clearly don't have any drugs in your system. They were suspicious that I was using drugs.
Because
I was a young guy. At the time, I was 26. Right now, I was 27, right now I'm 31, so fairly young guy, and they were suspicious of me abusing drugs. After the blood work came back, everything was clear, and she told me she was perplexed. She said, what did you do that led you to this point? Because it clearly didn't just come out of the blue. And I still didn't know. So I started thinking, what did I do up until this point? Yeah. And the only thing I could remember, Billy, is that when I was walking out of my car into my apartment, I was drinking one of those big Monster cans.
Okay. And yeah.
You've ever seen those big old?
Yeah.
Well, at the time I was working in retail cell phone sales, and I was drinking about two of those things a day. And I'm not talking about the normal Red Bull, man. Mm. I'm talking about they call them the BFCs, right? The big cans, right? So I was drinking one of those. And that's the only thing I could remember. So I told the doctor, I said, the only thing I can think of is that I was drinking a Monster and I finished that. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And I finished that. I was drinking a Monster. I finished that. But shortly before this happened, I went to my fridge, grabbed the water bottle and emptied one of those energy packets.
Right.
Realized that in about an hour and a half, 2 hour window, I had probably doubled, tripled up on caffeine. And I just remember she started yelling at me. She said, why are you have a family? Why do you drink that crap? You know, it's terrible for you. You know, people have died from it. I guess she's seen younger people than me pass away from those, you know, they have cardiac arrest, right? And I didn't realize, man, when you're young, you think you're immortal. You know what I mean? We think we're going to live forever and nothing's ever going to happen to me. And it was a huge wake up call. I consider myself very lucky because when I tell you I used to drink a lot of those, Billy, it wasn't until after this happened that I actually started realizing, I mean, I would drink Mountain Dews and coffee and Red Bull.
Yeah.
Within 2-3 hours, man. And people die that way, right? So anyway, to speed up a little bit, that's my first panic attack, right? Mm-hmm. 6-7 months after that was just, I gave up the caffeine and I went into caffeine withdrawal, which was just hell, Billy. I'm talking about every panic attack you can think of, 2 or 3 panic attacks per day. I was now on Xanax as a prescription. I was popping Xanaxes. I'm 28 years old, popping Xanaxes. You know, I'd start shaking and I'd have to pop a Xanax to calm down. It was bad. I even got to the point where I started thinking, is this going to be me the rest of my life? Am I just going to take pills? Like, did I ruin my life, my nervous system? What's going on? So there were points where I had to go to my mom's house and I would be at my mom's house just sitting down. I'd have a panic attack and she'd have to call the ambulance. I mean, it was terrible. And I've never had this before. My body went into full-fledged withdrawal with the caffeine.
How weird is that, man?
So it was hell. Eventually, I got tired of the taking pills, of the Xanax. I started noticing that if I didn't take a Xanax, the panic attacks were worse. I couldn't be in a public place. I mean, even my family started noticing, well, what's wrong with you? I felt like I was going crazy, you know, and there's several times where I would just break down, man. And I would just, you know, I'm a very spiritual person as well. But yeah, when you're going through something like this, I know they say a lot of people, you know, they look for spiritual comfort. I couldn't even do that. That's how bad it was. I was just full-fledged panic attack. And so what really helped me out of that hole, believe it or not, was your videos.
Yay.
I mean, I mean it, man, when I tell you, at that time, when you're going through something like that, you really feel, first of all, you don't know what it is. You know very little about it. You know, I know worlds about it and I can fight off a panic attack and I'll talk about what I do. But at that point, I started Googling and I said, well, I can't be the only one, right? And my worst symptom at the time that I noticed was I couldn't walk straight. I was just dizzy all the time.
Yeah, it's horrible, man.
It is. And I started having panic attacks because of the dizziness, right? I felt like, am I going to have a, you know, am I going to pass out? Am I going to have a, what do they call it when you have your brain, I forget what it's called, a stroke.
Yeah.
Am I have a stroke? Am I going to have a, what is it? So anyway, I started Googling. I went on YouTube and I found your dizziness video. The very famous one that has what, over 1 million views, maybe 2 million now. I don't know.
That's the top 10 symptoms one is my, that's the one that's got 1 million, but there is a dizziness one. I think it's got like 250K or something like that.
They all helped me. But when I found that one video on the dizziness, and you started describing the jelly legs, everything you started. And I said in my mind, oh shit, this is what I'm going through right now. Maybe I'm not going crazy. And at that moment you start to feel good because you realize that, that you're not alone. Right. Mm. And I think that's one thing that you and I have talked about this before. I think a lot of people seek the comfort of knowing that they're not alone when they're going through something like this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I'll be honest with you, Billy, at the time, and it's taken me a long time to open up to even my family about anxiety in itself. There's a lot of people that I work with that I respect that, you know, for so many years I've hid it away from them. I'd be in a meeting with clients and I'd start feeling, so I'd have to excuse myself, go to the bathroom or wherever and try to deep breathe to calm myself down, right? But eventually I became so comfortable with it that I started talking about it with them. And to my surprise, there's so many people out there that have anxiety and they're just, I don't know if they're ashamed of it. At the time I felt embarrassed, ashamed of it, almost like, you know, a weakness that you don't want to admit. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people think, but for me, I mean, it's been a blessing in a way. But I've learned to come to accept that I have battles every now and then with anxiety. I don't consider myself a miracle, fully recovered, because although I've come a long way, there are stressful situations in life that, you know, there'll be a day where we all just have our bad days, right? I think I messaged you the other day telling you, man, you know, today's just one of those days where I feel dizzy. I've even seen Drew Linsalata on, is that how you say his name? Linsalata. Linsalata. Great videos, by the way. You know, the other day he was on saying he was dizzy, and it's crazy because he's sitting there saying, well, he's dizzy, and I'm on the other side of the screen saying, well, shit, me too. You know, and it feels good because in a weird way, it feels good because you know you're not alone and it's just a symptom and you're going to be fine, right?
That's the best part.
100%. So when I found that dizziness video, I immediately became a subscriber. I put the notifications. I found the Facebook group. I tried to do everything possible to feel like I wasn't alone. And that would probably be, if I had any advice, and again, I'm nobody special. I'm just a normal person. But if there's other normal people out there like me who are going through something like this, my best advice is and always has been, don't be afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, it's important, isn't it? I think the more you bottle it up, like from the moment that I had my first one, I've never had an issue with talking about it. I just felt that I had to, because I didn't know nothing about it. Like I'd never heard of the term panic attack or... So when it happened for me, our story is quite similar in what you were saying, just out of the blue. My thing was like a head rush sort of thing. I was just sitting playing Xbox and just lost it. But then the same pattern, heart race, sweating. I went outside as well, did exactly the same thing. Splashed a bit of water on my face.
It's when it's never happened to you before. And I mean, right now with everything going on, people losing their jobs, people being stuck. I mean, I feel like I'm going crazy, stuck in my house for 2 weeks now. And how it is over there in the UK, but here in the United States, they've just announced that we have to be in shelter till the 30th of April. I mean, it's bad when the highlight of your day is going to the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah. So whereabouts are you in America?
I'm from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, but I moved to Oklahoma City about 3.5 years ago. So my first battle with anxiety actually was right before I moved. So think about having your first panic attack and 6 months later moving away from your whole support system, all your family. So when I tell you your videos helped me, I mean it, man. I didn't have any friends or family. I moved out to work. And I moved out here for work, and you know, it was just me, my wife, and my kids. I have three little kids, two and a little girl. And at the time, it was just my wife and I and my two boys. And, you know, you can call your mom on the phone. You can call your friend on the phone. But at that time, you don't think to call anybody. You just want to survive, right?
It helps. Yeah, it definitely helps to hear from somebody who knows exactly what it feels like. Like, that's something I've always thought. Like you say, you can talk to just anybody, but if they don't get it, it's hard for them to, like, you're not looking for sympathy. You're not looking for them to just say, oh, like, you'll be all right. You're looking for somebody that can say, yeah, it's that reassurance seeking, isn't it?
100%. 100%. I mean, I'll tell you what, even in the last month, the Discord chat, I've been on there a couple of times to, you know, I'll see people say, I'm not feeling good. Can I talk to somebody? They're just seeking reassurance. I myself have sent a message out there saying, you know, hey, I'm feeling jittery, you know, just so somebody can say, again, that reassurance. Yeah, but you're going to be fine. I think our mutual friend, Mark. Mark, I don't know what his last name is.
Evans.
Yeah, Evans. He helped me one time most recently he helped me one time. But I'd say I've come a long way since then, though, Billy. Aside from knowing that I'm not alone and from, you know, seeking the reassurance, there's a lot of things that I've learned about anxiety that have helped me. I think once you understand what it is, you can develop some sort of a plan or you know how to deal with it once you know what it is, right? So if everybody has their own coping mechanisms, their own techniques. For me, I've probably tried, you know, through trial and error, various things that have helped me. I've tried, you know, I've tried magnesium supplements. They say magnesium.
Yeah.
And that does help me, but it doesn't help my dizziness. I've tried. Have you heard of essential oils?
Yeah.
My wife's big into essential oils. Her friends are big into essential oils. I've tried that. When we moved to Oklahoma, we have some friends of ours that are big into essential oils, and that's helped me a lot. But as simple as it sounds, my number one coping mechanism is deep breathing.
Yep. Simple. Yeah.
It sounds too simple to be true, but honestly, if you just slow down, close your eyes, count to 10, catch your breath, and just do it for 5 minutes, it's amazing what your nervous system will do in terms of calming down just by deep breathing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that they're like labored breathing and how tense you are as well. Like I'll be sitting here, like I was sitting here waiting for you to join, and I'm like tense, my legs are like rigid. Just sometimes you just gotta relax, man. Consciously like make that decision in your mind, just drop your shoulders and
You told me that not too long ago when I was dealing with some, you said, man, just drop your shoulders. And here I am, worlds away. And it helped, you know, it helped. But yeah, the deep breathing really helped. I will tell you that going through something like this, some of the positives for me have been, you know, the ability to help other people. I feel like I can help other people. My mom most recently has gone through some sort of anxiety. People that you would never think of going through anxiety, you can see the symptoms and you start telling them, hey, you know, coworkers, are you all right, man? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. And then I just flat out tell them, I know how you're probably feeling. I have, you know, anxiety. I've been there before. And right away, their eyes light up like, oh, yeah, I have anxiety, too. I'm glad you and they feel safe to talk about it. People you would never think of.
That's what I've always found crazy. Is like, as soon as you mention it, they're like, they either know how it feels or they know somebody who's struggling. It's crazy the amount of people that are in a bad way.
You're right. I'll tell you a story. I told you I'm a software salesman. I travel a lot for work. I cover various states. And there was a guy that was working with me who would fly from across the country every week. Every Sunday night, he would fly, spend the week with me, and then fly back home to the other side of the country to be with his family. He did that for about 6-7 months. And this guy was probably the, you know, he's a little bit older than me, probably the most buttoned up, you know, sharpest salesperson I've met in a long time, right? Very confident, very outspoken. You would never think this guy would have any issues with anxiety. And he's the guy that I was telling you about. We were sitting outside a dealership one time because he said, oh, I need you to pull over. So we stopped at a dealership and he says, oh, I got to take this call. But I noticed he got out of the car and he never took a call.
Right.
Pacing around. And I'm sitting there watching him, you know, walk around the vehicle, just pacing around. And I said, what's going on? Right. He gets back in the car and he's doing this, you know, and immediately start recognizing the symptoms. And so I said, that's when I told him, his name's Josh. I said, Josh, are you all right? He goes, I'm good, man. I'm good. But you know, you could tell in his voice.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I got to tell you, I struggle with anxiety. And I just opened up to him. And the minute I told him, Billy, it almost feels like if his anxiety, I think he was having anxiety about having anxiety in front of me.
Yeah, possibly. You know? Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
But the minute I told him that I deal with it, he calmed down right away. I mean, we were back on the road within 15 minutes. But the funny part is after that, he would, because he stayed here during the week, he would call me at 9 o'clock at night in his hotel room and just talk. And I'd be like, you're going through a panic attack, aren't you? He's like, no, I'm good. Eventually he admitted and yeah, he was going through a panic attack. You know, he was far away from his family, you know, he was all alone in a hotel room. He told me that his biggest fear for him, because he had blood pressure issues and he kept checking it. He kept checking his blood pressure and he kept fearing that he was going to have an aneurysm. That's what they call it. Kind of like somewhat of a stroke. And I told him, Josh, just stop checking your blood pressure, man.
Yeah.
Just if you want, give me your machine. No. I need this machine. I said, give me your machine and don't check it. And I promise you, you're going to live, right? If you die, you can haunt me the rest of my life.
Yeah. But
I promise you, you're going to live. He never gave me his blood pressure machine. He never did. But I know that it really helped him to talk to me when he was going through that. And again, it gets right back to my point. I think we all just need somebody to reassure us, to talk about it. And again, you would never think that there's so many people out there dealing with this. So that's been a blessing for me going through something like this, is the ability to help other people.
How do you cope when you're out on the road on your own, if you have a spell?
That's a very good question. Because it has happened. It's a very good question. That has happened a lot. And you're going to laugh when I tell you.
Come on.
Okay. I listen to your videos. Honestly. But it's not, you know, it's one of the things I do to distract myself. I think when you're going through anxiety, it's very easy to fall into a panic attack if you start to overthink your symptoms. If you pay attention to your heart rate, if you pay attention to your breathing, you know, you feel like you're not getting enough air. So everybody does that, you know, try to get more air. If you pay attention to the symptoms, it's very easy to fall into a panic attack. So what I've learned is some of my coping mechanisms are, you know, to distract yourself. So if I feel any bit nervous or anxious, I will, even before a meeting, I'll just pop on the podcast, you know, I'll put it on, just listen. You talk with somebody, knowing I feel like I'm in a room with two other people and we're all talking about the same thing and we're all right. So that means everything's going to be all right. I'm training my subconscious mind to take control and not let your body take control? Because I think that's one thing, critical lesson that I've learned about anxiety, and I don't know what your take on it is, but I think that when we go through anxiety, it's very easy to pay attention to all of the bodily responses, the sweating, the shortness of breath, the dizziness. But when you learn to tell your body, when your subconscious mind knows that everything's going to be okay, and you learn to tell your body that, and you learn to tell your body that everything's going to be okay, your body almost immediately calms down, and you know, your mind has to be in control. When you lose your mind, subconsciously even, it's very easy to fall into anxiety and panic. So a lot of what's helped me recover is meditation. You know, listening to videos is one of my coping mechanisms, and the deep breathing. I'll be in the car. If I feel iffy, I'll pop on the podcast. If I'm not doing that, I'll just breathe. And honestly, Billy, as simple as it sounds, I know everybody's got tons of things that they do, and medications and pills and supplements. But for me, the breathing has been major. And I do other stuff, meditation. I mean, mental health is just as important as physical health.
Yeah, I think that's the point, isn't it? Like, maybe we took it for granted before, like before your first panic attack and before my first, but like now it's, we have to focus on it. It's something that we have to nurture now.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, a lot of people are unhealthy in their eating habits. They don't get enough exercise. And you'll notice that a lot of people, it takes something very bad for them to happen to their physical health, whether it's a heart attack or something, for them to actually wake up and start eating healthy and exercising. When you have that scare, you're motivated to never get there again, right? Never have it again. You want to get away. You want to be healthy now. Oh, I had a heart attack, so I don't smoke. I don't, you know, eat junk food. I exercise 3 times a week. It takes something traumatic like that to happen to them before they start to actually be proactive.
Yeah, it's weird, like, thinking about your first panic attack and mine. Like, why did it happen at that time? Like, mine, I was smoking a strong batch of weed, which I don't condone. But, like, I'd been smoking it for ages. So why that one night? Same with you. Why that one night? Like, you'd been drinking that stuff. It's just weird.
No, I agree. It's when you're not healthy in your physical, your routine, but also your mental routine, if you're stressed out all the time, if you, and that's, I think, why it happened to me, Billy. I think.
Were you stressed at the time?
Oh, yeah, with work. I just had my second son was born. And so I'll tell you, I mean, I was not eating healthy, not sleeping as many hours as I should have been. I was not exercising. My mind was completely overworked and stressed. And, you know, I'm a young guy working. At the time, my wife's staying at home taking care of the kids, so I need to be the provider. So you have that stress. But what I've learned now is that we need to be proactive, not only in our physical health, what we eat, you know, our daily activities, exercise, sleeping, but also our mental health. Take time to for yourself. I don't know if enough people out there in today's day and age, I think we live in such a fast-paced society. I don't know, it could be very different in the UK, but here in the United States, it's very get up and go, 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 go. You know, especially with a high-pressure sales job like I have, it's kind of become a part of me to be in moving all the time, right? But I've learned to force myself to take the time for me mentally. And I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about even walking around the damn block with my kids, man, and just breathing the air. I mean, little simple stuff like that. You'll never realize all those little things can make such a big difference because they all add up, right?
How bad did it get for you? Were you housebound at any point?
Yes. Well, I think I was housebound when it first started because I didn't know what it was. And I was afraid of being anxious in public or in front of people, you know, I actually took some time off of work. And I was very blessed because when I first started having a panic attack, I was already in the process of, you know, moving over to the company I work for now, which now, you know, I've been with this company over 5 years and I am, I'm like you, I work from home now, right? My office is still in Chicago, but I'm remote. So I have the luxury of being home and being in my safe place if I need to be, right? But other people out there that they have to be at work and they don't have a safe place and it's hard, right? And so I was housebound in the beginning because I didn't know enough about it. I was afraid about exposing myself in public. You know, it's funny, when this video comes out, I'm probably going to have family and friends that still don't even know that I have anxiety.
Yeah.
That are going to see this video and they're going to probably say, holy shit. Right. But I hope that when they see this, and I'm sorry for cussing. When they see this, maybe they're going through it too.
And I was just
going
to say that. Yeah. Maybe somebody says, you know, I know what you, this is my, how it feels.
This is my confession with Billy.
It's a crazy world.
Yeah, man. So your videos have really helped me a lot. And that is probably, if there's anything I want somebody to get from my testimonial today, it would probably be that. I would say, don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid of seeking reassurance. And don't be ashamed because you're not alone. There's people out there that, so many people out there that are going through this that, you know, I don't think it's exposed as much as it needs to be. Mental health is not as, I'd say, advertised. I don't know if advertise is the right word. I don't think a lot of people know as much about mental health as they should.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a big thing over here at the moment. Awareness, like people spreading awareness and that. But
awareness.
It's almost like there's too much awareness now and just not enough actual help. That's where we're at in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're completely right. And I think that what you're doing with your podcast really helps spread awareness, right?
And the coffee morning. Don't forget that.
100%. 100%, man. Yeah, I think it really helps spread awareness. I think if there was more awareness out there that, you know, we could help a lot more people.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Let's dig into the dizziness.
Okay.
Because people want to know about it, man. I think that's a lot. Oh, yeah. A large number of my subscribers have subscribed because of that, because it's the symptom that I always talk about. So what does it feel like to you? Describe the dizziness. It's almost impossible, but go for it.
The best way that I can describe it, if you've never had dizziness, you probably couldn't imagine what this feels like, because for me, and everybody's different, right? I don't want to speak for everybody, but for me, the room doesn't spin like vertigo, because I've had vertigo. I just, my dizziness, the way I would describe it, it's almost like if you're walking on a jello floor, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, no. I did a podcast years ago, like just an audio one with a guy, and he wrote a book and it was called Walking on Custard. Like that's how he described it.
That's exactly how I would describe it. I could be sitting, and right now I've learned to control it and it doesn't happen as often, but I could be sitting watching TV or on the computer, and for a second it feels like if I'm on a boat rocking back. And then I'll try to snap out of it and, you know, gather myself. So I'll get up and start walking around. And it feels like if you're walking on a jello floor, right? You don't have that. And I've, by the way, on the dizziness, let me just save a lot of research for a lot of people.
Do it.
Because I've done everything I can. I've done all the research you can think of. When you start researching dizziness, there's various causes, right? And I've tried to rule every single one out. There's blood sugar, when you have low blood sugar. I think they call it hypoglycemia.
One or the other.
Yeah. Well, low blood sugar can cause dizziness. So if some people will have dizziness, if you haven't eaten for 7-8 hours throughout the day and your blood sugar gets too low, you'll start feeling dizzy. That wasn't it for me, but that's a reason people get dizzy. Mm-hmm. Another reason people get dizzy is low blood pressure. That wasn't it for me either, but that could be a cause of the dizziness. Another reason could be dehydration. Mm-hmm. I've had that a couple of times, you know, where I've had to quickly, you know, drink a Gatorade or a Powerade, whatever, to try to get hydrated. But that's another cause of dizziness. But the one that I found most unique was when I started to learn about our ears,
inner ear stuff, the vestibular.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. The vestibular. I haven't looked at it in such a long time, so it couldn't come to me. But it's the vestibular system. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, well, maybe I have something wrong with my vestibular system, right? And I started getting topical oils for behind my ear. Never helped. Mm-hmm. I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I told him there's something wrong with my vestibular system. He laughed at me. I told him, no, doctor, you have to believe me. I'm dizzy all the time. There's something wrong with my vestibular system. And he did various tests on me. I've done every test that you can think of. They never figured it out. They told me I was fine. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Billy, I gave up and I said, I don't know why I'm dizzy, but I know that it's not going to kill me. And the minute I said that, I was talking about the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. I start to feel dizzy. And you've told me this before. Just accept it and know that it's not going to kill you. It goes away like that, you know? So I'm not dehydrated. I don't have low blood pressure. I don't have low blood sugar, and my vestibular system's completely fine. I did all that research only to find out that if I told myself you're fine, I was fine.
And that's the power of the mind, man.
Yeah. And again, dizziness still is, again, I don't want to make myself out to seem to be this person that's completely recovered, but it still is my worst symptom.
Yeah, same for me.
There's good days, there's bad days, but all in all, I mean, it's just a part of the bad days. It's not going to kill you.
It's exactly the same for me.
Is that how you had your dizziness? How did your dizziness start?
Yes, it's... Well, it was as a result of, I have always put it down to like a tension thing, maybe, like because I sit rigid. But it's exactly the same response to you. If I feel a dizzy spell coming on, or if I just feel uneasy in the boat feeling, like I've always said that, and the jelly legs. Like you can either sit there and focus on it and just, it's going to get worse, it's not going to go away. Or like you said, get up, do something, just do what you would planning on doing anyway. That's what I tend to do, and it's not like you forget about it, but you realize that you're in no danger. That's the key to it.
100%. I agree 100%. I wish I could make it go away and never have it again. I really do, but I notice that when I do feel some sort of dizziness, like you said, just accept it and it naturally goes away on its own. If you let it take over your mind, like I said, if you let your body take over your, you know, if you pay attention to your bodily responses too much, you can lose your mind. You know?
Yeah.
You can let anxiety win. You can't let it win. You have to be strong. And I don't want to say strong, but you have to have that reassurance and tell yourself, I'm going to get through it. It's very hard to develop that reassurance. And I think that's why we seek it in so many other people. Mm-hmm. Other than ourselves. But I think once we start to build up that reassurance within ourselves, it makes a lot of the symptoms go away. You know, another thing that I used to do a lot and I still do sometimes, you and Drew made a series of videos.
The 101 series.
Oh my God. those should be sold, man, because they're good. I mean, the stuff that you guys, it's so spot on that you and Drew describe. I mean, it helped me so much get to where I am today, you know? It's true. The one thing I learned the most about those videos is, you know, I learned that you can't give in. You have to find a way of distracting yourself, and you can't give in to the symptoms. You have to have that confidence in knowing that you're going to be all right. But acceptance is the number one thing that I learned from those videos you and Drew put out.
Have you ever read the Claire Weeks stuff?
I've never read it, but I've heard you guys talk about it so much. I'm surprised I haven't yet. I feel like I know it already. Just listen.
Yeah, you probably do.
I still want to. I still want to read it, and I will one day. But acceptance, the process of acceptance, is the number one thing that I've taken away from your videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a powerful thing, man. I think, like you were just saying about the reassurance, I used to find myself, I'd go on forums and that before the times of Facebook groups and stuff, and I'd seek reassurance. But like you said, after a while, you start to be able to reassure yourself. Like you very rarely see me post somewhere, oh, I feel dizzy, or, you know what I mean? Because I just don't go there with it anymore. It's all in here. Excuse my dog.
No, it's all right. I'm pretty sure it won't be too long before my little 2-year-old daughter comes
bursting in.
Hey. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I mean, I've been working from home since this whole thing's been going on, and, you know, I'll be on conference calls all day and hear people's kids and dogs in the background. Mm-hmm. And it's just madness, you know? You know, right now, you said something the other night that I thought was very true. I think a lot of people are going to, there's a lot of people out there that with everything going on, losing their jobs, being stuck at, being anxious and worried about this coronavirus. They may have family members, or they're worried for their own health. They're going to develop anxiety.
Yeah, and I'm seriously concerned about the numbers, man. I think it's going to be bad.
There's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be seeking reassurance. And they're going to need people who've been through, they want somebody to tell them everything's going to be okay. Because when you turn on the news, Billy, they're not telling you everything's going to be okay.
It's not good.
No, all you hear about is the people that are dying. They never talk about the people that are surviving, right? It's funny because I was talking to a close friend recently, even my own mother, about this. I think that we really need to take a hard look at what kind of energy we're taking in throughout our day. And what I mean by that, don't worry, I'm not going to get into some crazy tangent. When I say energy, I'm talking about just being positive or negative. What do you listen to on the radio or on your playlist? Are you listening to negative type music? Are you listening to something that lifts you up? When you turn on the TV, I'm a big sports guy. I love soccer. I know you love soccer too.
Yes.
We've had our FIFA game. Yeah. By the way, we need to do that again.
We need to. Yeah, we will.
I'm a huge sports fan, Billy. And the number one thing that I used to like doing when I come home from a long day of work is just put the soccer game, the basketball game, any sort of sports, because it distracts me from the stress of my daily life. But right now we don't have that, right? We don't have that. I mean, at least I don't have that escape. Turn the TV on, there's no sports. All you hear and see is the death toll.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, gonna die. Everybody's in danger. And it's so negative that eventually, even though you don't realize it, you are feeding negative energy to your subconscious mind. So even though you can sit there and watch the news and say, I'm good, you're listening to the news say, everybody's dying and you might die too. Your subconscious mind is absorbing that, right? So then you turn off the TV and, you know, you go pick up your cell phone, guess what? It's all over Facebook. It's everywhere. You know,
there's no escape.
No escape. we're surrounded by it. So I think that when you continuously absorb all of this negativity, you're almost locking yourself into a place where you feel like there's no escape, right? Mm-hmm. For me, a big escape from all of that is what I've mentioned earlier, the meditation. That's why I do it. I know some people that I've talked to about it think I'm a hippie and I'm crazy for sitting outside in the sun and, you know, just absorbing, you know, they think I'm weird, whatever. But you know what? It's my escape from the news and the social media and the radio. I mean, we're surrounded by it. And so I think with all of this going on right now, I think there's people that just aren't going to be able to handle literally being locked in their house. Mm. No escape.
That's the thing. Cause like how far into lockdown are you? Like we're only a week in and people are going stir crazy already.
We're probably just a week more than you. I've been locked in, not locked in. We can go to the grocery store and stuff, but we've been on quarantine for about 2 weeks. Mm. And so my wife is going crazy.
I was going to say, it seems that the people that, like, for some reason, a lot of people that have anxiety already, I said this in a podcast that's not actually on YouTube yet, but it will be later. But I was saying, I've completely lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
you were saying that I told you my wife was going crazy, and you were saying a lot of people that have anxiety.
A lot of people that have anxiety seem to be dealing with this. Like it's not affecting us as much. And I think it's maybe because we deal with this stuff so often, although it's made up in our heads. Like we have these catastrophes all day, every bloody day. So this is just another one of those. So we're just, it's the same feeling. We're having the same response that we do to our irrational thoughts normally. Whereas people that don't have anxiety, like this is a catastrophe for them. And it's hitting them harder. Like my girlfriend, she got upset the other day when we were driving around the local town because there's just nobody about. But for me, it's just like nothing. I'm too focused in here anyway.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And you know what? Like, you're completely right. There's people that don't have anxiety that are going to develop. Maybe they lose their job. Mm-hmm. The stress level is so high right now that, like I told you earlier, we people that have, you and I and other people that have dealt with anxiety, we know how to cope with it. Mm. We know what we need to do. We understand it. We understand that physical and mental health is important. But people who are not physically healthy, mentally healthy, and have this multitude, enormous amount of stress are going to fall into anxiety, and it's going to hit them like a brick wall. Because I think this is all hitting us pretty hard, pretty fast.
I think that's the scary thing is that, like when you had your first panic attack, yes, you were drinking energy drinks, but the stress levels were up here. Same with me. I was smoking weed, but the stress level was up here. And now everybody's stress levels are up here. And that's the scary thing.
I will never, energy drink, you're completely right. I will never blame energy drinks. Mm. The reason why I have anxiety, No, they didn't help. I will blame my stress level.
Yeah, same.
You know? And not knowing how to deal with it, not working on it and finding ways of deal. If we don't learn how to deal with our stress, you know, eventually your mind, your body will just get to a point where you do have a panic attack.
Yeah. I mean, cause what are people doing now? They're staying home. They're not getting as much exercise. They're probably drinking alcohol. They're eating more cause they're bored. I'm telling you, it spells disaster.
I saw a meme yesterday. It's funny you say that. I saw a meme yesterday. Somebody put a sign inside the fridge. Once you open it up, there's a sign that says, "You're not hungry. You're bored." And it's true. Yeah. You know, I find myself, I'm probably going to gain some weight when this is over because I snack all day. You know, I snack all day. I'm already a little bit overweight. I need to get back in the gym. But, you know, it's tough, man. We're all locked in. Physically,
the kids are the worst. The kids can just eat and eat.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you saw what I put on Facebook the other day, but last Friday I decided that I was going to try to, you know, because the schools are all out, right?
Yeah,
schools were canceled here, so I decided that I was going to set up some sort of lesson plan for my boys so that they could occupy themselves. I really was only doing it because I got tired of them screaming while I was on conference call. So I said, okay, boys, today we're having homeschool, right? Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. I have a lot of respect for teachers. It was crazy because I told them, okay, well, this is how the lesson plan is going to work out today. You're going to read, and then we're going to do, you know, math, and then we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But immediately my 6-year-old, he goes, well, we can't start until we do the Pledge of Allegiance, right? I don't know if you guys know what that is over there, but, you know, you put your hand on your heart, mm-hmm. and you recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. So we do that. Immediately after we do that, my 5-year-old starts saying, I want Oreos. I'm hungry. I'm like, you just already had breakfast. Yeah, you just had breakfast. What do you mean you want Oreos? And he has an empty tray of Oreos, and he's starting to cry. So I'm like, hey, calm down, calm down. Mm-hmm. The 6-year-old at the same time is telling me, you don't know how to teach. I'm going to be the teacher now. And, it was just madness. And he says, it's time now. He goes and grabs the Doritos. My little 2-year-old daughter comes in with Oreo all over her face. It was crazy. My wife comes downstairs because she was on the phone with her mother, and she says, what's going on? And I said, you handle this.
School's out.
I'm done. But there's a lot of people, you know, all joking aside, there's a lot of people that are done with this already.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing.
2 weeks, you know, it's tough. I think what we have to do is silver lining. For me, Billy, I mentioned to you that I travel a lot for work. So I talked about positivity, negativity. Something that's helped me be more positive is just looking at the positive side of it. I haven't seen my kids as much as I have these last 2 weeks in months. Mm-hmm. Kicking the ball in the backyard with them, going to the park, playing games. It's sad to say it. Mm-hmm. It is, because I mentioned to you earlier, I have a high-pressure sales job. I travel a lot. But even so, there's so many people out there that they don't take the time to even sit at the dinner table to eat with their family. Mm. I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to that. When I was a kid growing up, my mother and father, they always had us sit at the table. We always ate together. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do that. My wife and I try to do that with our kids. But I'll tell you, with my job, it's very difficult. And so if there's any positivity coming out of this, it's realizing that you're having the time now to spend with your family. And I think if you focus on the positive stuff and not the news and Facebook and all the negative stuff, it can be a good way to cope with it.
That's the perfect message. I like it, man. You've been rehearsing.
No, man. I promise you I haven't been. No, I'll tell you what. All I've been doing, to be honest with you, I've been spending time with my family and playing a lot of FIFA.
And on that bombshell, what's your favorite soccer team again? Real Madrid, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a huge Real Madrid fan. And your team is, I forget.
My team's Birmingham City. They're terrible. Let's not talk about it.
Well, at least you're, I tell a lot of people I'm a Madrid fan, and they automatically think that, you know, because there's so many Madrid fans, they see them as bandwagon fans, you know. You're only a Madrid fan because they win. I actually was a Madrid fan even before Ronaldo played Madrid. And I'll tell you the story real quick. I used to be an Arsenal fan.
Oh, okay.
As a kid, I was a diehard Arsenal fan. Mm-hmm. Thierry Henry, Fabregas, they're my favorite players. Well, when they left to Barcelona, mm-hmm. I was pissed. So I said, instead of being a Barcelona fan, I'm going to be a Real Madrid fan. And ever since then, I was a Madrid fan.
Interesting. Henry, I think, is one of the best players we have ever witnessed. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I loved him. I used to have posters in my room as a kid.
Yeah. Great player, man.
He was great. But, yeah, that's what I've been doing, man. I've just been trying to focus on the time with my family.
Focus on the good things. Yeah, because there are positives.
Yeah. If you don't have a hobby, maybe you do, and you don't have enough time, pick up a hobby, you know? Mm-hmm. I have several hobbies. I told you that I'm into sports. I've been selling my sports cards collection that I've had forever since a kid, and I've been making a little money on the side. That's a hobby. Mm-hmm. I have a guitar. I play guitar. That's a hobby. You know, just find something that you can occupy your mind with that's not being glued to the television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can watch Netflix, just not Sky News or CNN or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, I told you that, have you seen Tiger King?
I haven't yet.
Have you heard of Tiger King?
Only after you sent something and then I looked at what it was.
But I asked you because I don't know if it's different over there where you live in the UK, but over here in the United States, you know, Tiger King is a very, very popular thing right now. I think it's the number one trending show on Netflix. Mm. Well, Tiger King is based out of a town an hour away from my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically about a zookeeper who is completely crazy. I mean, I don't know if I could describe it and be appropriate on air, but I'll just say go for yourself.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. And I've been getting nothing but crap from my friends here an hour away from it. You know, they're associated. I've had them call me Tiger King Jr. already. Everything you can think of.
Just because you live near it.
Oh, they Photoshop pictures of me with a little tiger. Everything you can think of, they're just giving me crap. But it's hilarious. And anybody that wants to distract themselves, you might think it's weird the first two episodes in, but I promise you, it gets better. Shaq's in it. I don't know if you know Shaq. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just watch it. It's funny.
We'll give it a watch. Stick it on the watch list.
It is hilarious.
That's about it, man. I think we covered it. The main thing, I'm titling this one, Eddie Del Toro, Anxiety and Dizziness.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's what it's about.
I hope people take the time to listen to our message, and I mean it seriously. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate the opportunity to come on here. And if anybody is questioning whether or not, you know, they should look into looking for help and talking to somebody, just join the group. Subscribe to this channel. Join the Facebook group. Join the Discord. Just try it. And I promise you, I mean, for me, it made a world of difference. And hopefully for other people, it can too.
Love it. All the links are in the description. That's all you need to know. That's it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it.
You best go get some homeschooling done.
I'm going to have to pretty soon.